Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, isn't it? Beginning to look a lot like Christmas. We see all our lovely decorations, and last week we were absolutely blessed with our carol service. Wasn't it wonderful to see our young people up here and the singers and our visiting singer? It was just a wonderful time of celebration and rejoicing and singing the beautiful Christmas carols. And we've been just so blessed because our family in Townsville, they had their carol service and sent us down some beautiful photos of Rebecca with the young girl she's training doing the beautiful ecclesiastical dance before the Lord. And that's always been on my heart for this church, that someone would take up that role and teach these young girls about the dance and dancing before the Lord. And then last night we had the privilege of going to see where our other grandchildren go to their church and go and be part of their carol service and to hear the beautiful voices sing. And we were just so blessed. Joel was, as always, on the drums and played beautifully, and Brett, accompanied with two young ladies, sang Our Holy Night. And it was just absolutely beautiful. I love that song, and he just sang it so beautifully. So God is great. God is good. Amen. And, you know, we need to have dreams and desires for our children. John and I were talking, coming home, and reflecting and remembering about when our own children were little. In Babes in Arms, I used to sing to them. And not just sing sweet songs, but sing the things of Jesus and really impart that into their lives. And when they were older, we'd, in the car going somewhere, we'd sing. It's not a matter of whether you've got a great voice. It's a matter of what you're speaking and singing into your children's life. And the same with our grandchildren. We always encourage them. So encourage your children, people. Encourage your grandchildren. Encourage your nieces and nephews. And not only a matter of singing, but see in them what God has placed in them. Believe. You know, we see I was watching the other day, there's an advertisement now at the end of the year for the, I think it's Channel 7. It might be Channel 9, I'm not sure. But they all go, come on, come on. And that comes from the tennis. Leighton Hewitt does that. And a lot of the tennis, they sort of psych themselves up. Well, we're not to psych ourselves up, but we're to say, come on. Come on in Jesus' name. I can do this. We need to be encouraging ourselves. I encourage myself. I say, come on, Pat, you can do it. Not I hope I can do it. I can do it. If that's what God's called me to do. And so you need to believe that God has called your children. Our children, as they got up here, I was just so blessed and want to give thanks to Muriel and Rachel and Susie and Barbara and Kayleen and Heather, those in the mainly music, but the teachers of our Sunday school as well, as our little ones got up here and sang and brought a presentation. And we smile and we think it's cute, but we need to be believing for them what God is going to do. As we see the young ones as they've grown up now and they get on the platform, it was great to see Hayden on his new drum instrument this morning, and Rachel also had a go at it, and they brought that back from, I think, the Philippines for him. And so, you know, and they started out just little kids with a jam tin, a biscuit tin and drums. And I was thinking about Brett last night. His heart's desire always was to sing and to give God glory. And he'd get in his bedroom or out in the yard and he'd just sing. Encourage your children to do the things that God has called them. And it's just a joy when I saw them up here last Sunday night to look at them and start to think about what God has got for their lives. Do you think that? Do you look at your children and believe for what God is doing in them? And sometimes as they grow up, we think, oh, it's not going to happen. But no, believe what God said. God, believe what God said. And I was thinking again, and this isn't the message, I was thinking again this morning and even last night, you know, as John was talking to me about the building and he was saying different things. You know, when there's going to be a building, the front of this building, there had to be a plan. And you see, we saw it as a sketch of paper. And I remember when John brought the plans home and showed me, oh, I couldn't make head nor tail of this thing. I was saying to him, but I can't visualise it. I can't. But you see, the things of God are a plan. God had a plan from the beginning. And when we're going to do a building, it takes not only the people and the work, but it takes lots of materials. It takes lots of nails and wood and timber and glass and whatever it is that goes into building a building, paint. There's numerous things. And you see, we are all those things. God had a plan for a building, which was his kingdom. And you see, each one of us are a part of that building. And while God looked at it, he sees the finished product. We only see the thing being built. But as we look at our new front or we look at our multi-purpose room, we think, oh, it's wonderful. And we see it's all come together, but it came together with little bits and pieces, with little things that fitted together and found their place. And you see, each one of us are like that building. We each are a little piece of that building. We each have a little part. And where I fit, you can't. Have you ever tried to do a great big jigsaw puzzle? I'm hopeless at puzzles. I always try to fit three-cornered pieces into two corners. And they say, and my grandchildren say, that won't fit there. There, Grandma, it's got its place. Well, each part of one of you are like that. You have your place. And when I go out into that multi-purpose room, I regularly think, this used to be the backyard. And especially when I go through the kitchen, I remember going out through that dingy pull-up old door we had through that brick wall and out onto that concrete platform, which was always a mess, and then out into the backyard, and then we got emergency relief building, but then it was all yard, and here it is now, a wonderful building. It just didn't happen. It was seen, it was believed, and it was grown with love and time and effort. And so see your children as part of that building. See them as part of that puzzle, that they have a place to fit. And even if, as I said, when they grow up, they get a little bit despondent or they go off and think they've got their own ideas and their ideas are better than yours or even better than God's sometimes. Children, are you listening? God's idea is the best. It doesn't matter how small you are, Ari, and there's younger ones than you, or how big you are, then God has a place for each one of you. And we parents need to instill that into our children till they get it. Till they get it. But we have to get it first so that we can be always speaking them these things into their lives. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you as a broken, sinful, hopeless person. He sees you as a glorious creation. And you see, when our children are handed to us, we see this beautiful gift. But as they grow up and they go through all the little stages, we often forget that beautiful gift. And we can become despondent. But God wants us to still see the beauty and the opportunities and the possibilities that are in that gift. So, Father, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love. And I just pray for every child, not just here, Lord, but every child that is attached to somebody that's here. Every mother and father that's here, Lord God, I just bring before you their children. And, Father, continue to claim them. Continue, Lord, to hold them up before you, that they will fulfill your plan, Lord, no matter where they are now, no matter what they're doing. They may have turned their back on you. They may think that they're more clever. They might think that they've got careers and things that are more important. But, Lord, you've said that as we believe and agree, as we speak your truth, it will be done. And so, Lord, we call them home. We call them into your kingdom. We call them, Lord, into that place that you have created. For we can never find a place that you have not made for us. For you have fitted each man, woman and child, Lord, to fit into your kingdom. So we just praise you, Lord, and thank you that these children will grow up, Father, to honour and glorify you and bring their gifts and talents to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that was just the beginning. This morning, I want to speak about the conquering Christ of Christmas. And he is the conqueror. He is the wonderful Christ. We need to have Jesus at the centre of our celebrations. As we heard this morning, there is so much going on. Brendan said about packaging, and the shops have been telling us since probably the middle of the year that we need mince pies and we need Christmas puddings to make Christmas. And we see all of the glitz and the glamour out there, and those things are nice, and it's wonderful to gather around the table with your family and have bonbons and to be having this celebration, but we need to know who the celebration is about. It's about Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to remember that our joy is because of Jesus. Our song is because of our Saviour. Our love is because of our Lord. Our inheritance is because of His incarnation. And our blessing, a result of His birth. They are the things that we need to remember, not just at Christmas, but every day of the year. Jesus is central to our lives. He is the centre figure in our lives, and we need to remember how important He is. And as we gather around on Christmas morning and we give gifts because He has blessed us so much, and it's His desire that we bless one another. But we always know that He instigated that, that He gave His life and He gave us the greatest gift so that we would be free to share that love and that gift with others. But first we need to share His love before we give the gift, and give it in His love. Jesus is the conquering gift of Christmas. In the Old Testament era, through the Passover, the people looked forward to redemption. They just looked forward. They had a hope of the coming Messiah. They were told, they were encouraged, they were promised that this one would come. And many times they got despondent and disappointed because, you know, when we want something, we want it now, don't we? We're a now people. We're an instant people. We want everything. Children start thinking already after Christmas what they want next Christmas. They start thinking about the gifts that they're going to receive. We're in an instant society, so we want things. We get very disappointed. But in the New Testament, during the Christmas season, we look back at the incarnation. We look back and see the Saviour who came and gave Himself for each one of us. And this morning I'm going to be speaking from the book of Isaiah. The centrality of the conquering Christ is vividly seen for us through the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to be speaking out of Isaiah chapter 9, but I'm also going to refer to chapter 7. Isaiah is without doubt one of the most compelling and powerful books in the entire Bible, and he's one of my favourites. I love the book of Isaiah. There is so much depth and truth and power in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the most influential prophets. It is an amazing book that shows the big picture of God and His purpose for peace that He has set for the world. Isaiah is quoted 66 times in the New Testament. And you know, it's amazing when you think about it. Isaiah has 66 chapters and the Bible has 66 books. And Isaiah is also broken up the same as the Bible. And so we see, when we look at our scripture in Isaiah 7:7-14, which I'm not going to read to you, you can read in your own time, but Isaiah, what I'm bringing today, was writing during a very turbulent time in the history as he was in a divided kingdom of Israel and Judah. When they were being threatened by the expanding Assyrian Empire, during Isaiah's early time as a prophet, Ahaz, king of Judah, Ahaz was considered a very wicked and evil king. For example, when Jerusalem was threatened by the king of Israel, the king of Assyria, Ahaz, turned to the Assyrians for support, effectually making Judah a puppet with the Assyrian Empire. And it's also recorded that Ahaz worshipped the Assyrian gods and introduced many pagan and idolatrous customs to Judah. Perhaps one of the most wicked deeds, he offered his own son as a human sacrifice. So it so shows a bit, and if you read through that scripture, you will see the turbulent and difficult times that Isaiah came in. It comes in the backdrop during Ahaz's rule that Isaiah receives the wonderful promise about the birth of a child that would change everything. And that's what I want to speak about this morning, the child who would change everything. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, Isaiah says. On those living in the land, the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And so Isaiah goes on, and then we go down to where we are this morning. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 9, from verse 1 down to verse 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but the future he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles. By the way of the sea along the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as the day of the Midians' defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdened them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used to battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And this is the verse. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Is that awesome? Is that awesome? And you know, we read that and we think, well, we know that. But do we really know it? Do we really live it? Do we really understand it? Isaiah's prophecy of the coming king was a message of hope to these people. But to them, many of them, it still seemed afar off. They still struggled to see it. And so they needed encouragement. And you know, sometimes God gives us a word. Well, not sometimes. God is prepared to give us a word always through the reading of his word, through the prophetic word, through a word of encouragement. And you see, we want it now. We want to see it now. But the Lord, by his Spirit, wants to open the eyes of our faith, that we will claim it now, even if we actually see it later. Like that building, as I said, we saw the sketch, we saw the architect's sketch, but we had to visualise what it was going to be like, what it was going to be like. Now we see the finished product, and so we have to wait. But it's also a message for all of us to rejoice, because it was for us this child was born. Do you believe that? This child was born for you and for me. Not to come, but now. We are in a place now, an awesome place, where Jesus Christ has been revealed to us, that he has come. But we still need the same amount of faith, the same amount of ability to be able to look, not with our physical eyes, but with our spiritual eyes, to see that hope that has come for us. Because otherwise they are just words in a book. And you see, this isn't a book, this is life. This is my life. And what is written there is part of my life. And we need to take hold of that and live it and feed upon it every day. And really discipline ourselves to see things through the Spirit, not through our own eyes. Because often what we read there, we can't see with our own physical eyes. And so we become despondent. We become discouraged. And you see, that's the enemy's greatest tool. When you become despondent and discouraged, don't be. Don't see the little struggling plant. See the completed tree and the fruit. See what God has promised you. When you see things in your life that are struggling, it may be your finances, it may be your health, it may be your marriage, it may be your children, you need to say, no, Lord, I'm not going to look at what that is. I'm going to see what you've promised me. It's whether you believe the promises of God, that they are yes and amen, and that they are already fulfilled in Him. I've many times said to people when I counsel them, we put a little plant into the ground and we spend so much time looking at it. We have to nurture it, we need to care for it. But we look at it all the time, waiting to see. By faith, God wants you to see that you've got the fruit in your hand, picked from that tree. So I say to them, if you've got an apple tree that you've planted, see that you've already got the apple, that you can taste the fruit of that apple, you can taste its flavour. If it's an orange, if it's a pear, and like my husband loves lemons, if it's a lemon, see the juice and the fulfilment of that fruit. Don't keep looking at the little plant that may be struggling, but see the fulfilment of what you've been promised. Isaiah writes about this Saviour, and as I said, it's awesome when you think how this book is broken up. To Isaiah, Christ is just as much the Lamb of God as He is the Lion of Judah. Not just now, but then, when Isaiah was writing this, he saw the fulfilment. And again, I will remind you, the scripture says, for unto us a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Is that how you see him? Do you see him in all of those roles, fulfilling those roles within your life? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. From these two verses, there are several steps that to ensuring our conquering Christ is central during our Christmas celebration. First, we need to respond to his profound principles. Jesus is the counsellor. You know, I see people, and for better word, people call you a counsellor. But you see, the counsellor speaks out of me with his wisdom. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. He is the counsellor. He is the one who brings wisdom and truth and hope for all situations. And so Jesus is that wonderful counsellor. He has an answer to every question that you might have. Amen. He has an answer and a solution for everything that you might bring before him. The Word of God says that when you're weary, and we all get weary, and it's not just talking about feeling a bit tired. This weariness is talking about when you're weary, when you've travelled the road, when you've seen disappointments, when things haven't worked out the way you've wanted, when you're tempted to become discouraged or disappointed. That's the weariness. Often we don't get from Scripture because we don't read it correctly. It's not talking about having a hard day and yawning and feeling tired. It's talking about the weariness of being hurt. It's talking about the weariness of being disappointed. It's talking about the weariness of struggling and not seeing things happen the way you believe that they will. Well, the answer the counsellor brings is, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, on you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Start to yoke yourself with Jesus. Start to come back to see things as he sees them and know his rest and his promise that he will fulfill all that he said he would. If you have needs, if you have financial needs or worldly needs, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And people forget his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So you seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Because the kingdom, if we just seek the kingdom, it's just give me, give me, give me. But God's calling us to order that we must seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We must live in right standing before him, and then these things will be added to us. Everything that God has promised, not more. God has not promised Heather what he's promised Eula, or Paul what he's promised John. God has a promise and a fulfillment for each one. You need to find yours, not somebody else's. If you're worried about life, if you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about your children, the word says in Matthew, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer in difficult situations. Again, believing that God has promised, be of good cheer that he will fulfill those things. If you want to be a witness to the lost, and we all should want that. I've been spending a lot of time with my niece who has just gone through a very, very difficult time physically and still has much to face. And to be able to come alongside her and not quote rhyme and scripture, but to pray before I went. And to know that everything that I said, every gesture, every smile, everything would be a ministry of Christ. That's what we have to believe, that the Spirit of God will be revealed through you. And she is seeing that. And the counselor says to you, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You see, God is not going to fail us because he's called us to be his witness. When you witness to your family, love them. Not with love, but with the agape love, with the giving love of yourself. And I've said many times, eye contact. When you look at people right in the eyes, if you are believing the Spirit of God is working through you, that is what will be revealed. Not your weak love, not your ability to give, but they will see something deeper. They will see the Christ in you. If you are weak in body, Jesus says, rise up, take your bed and walk. As I said before, there are many things, or not many, but quite a few things now that I find difficult to do. And sometimes we can think, oh, I can't do that. But my husband will tell you, I encourage myself and I say, come on, Pat, you can do this. You can do this. There is always a way. And do you know what? I do it. And so we need to find that encouragement. But when I say, come on, Pat, you can do this, I'm not doing that in my strength. I know the Spirit of God is there moving me, cheering me on, encouraging me. You know the old saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Well, that's not only with our physical, that can be with our spiritual. We can slip away. We can lose sight of the things of God. We can be discouraged and we can be feel uncomfortable about it. But you see, Jesus simply said to the man, rise up, take your bed and walk. And he got up and he walked. We need to believe it. Jesus Christ is this wonderful counsellor. He has something for every crisis and every problem. To the Christian, the Lord's counsel is like honey to the taste. Do you ever feel that? That his counsel and his wisdom is like honey? It's like harmony to your ear, and it's like health to your body, and it's happiness to your soul and your heart. You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, Christmas is a wonderful time for some, but it's not a good time for others. It's a sad time. You see, we're focusing on the wrong thing. If Christmas means to you celebrations, eating, getting with family, and all of those things are important because Christmas is about family. But if you centre in that, and the songs and the sentimental songs they play in shops, and if you focus on this world, yes, it'll be sad. But you see, Jesus came to bring joy. Christmas to us, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our position, is a time of joy. It's joy to the world. It doesn't say joy to some who have overcome, that have got good families, that have got good health. It says joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Every tribe, every nation. And so you see, when you hear people say, oh no, well Christmas isn't a good time for me, tell them about the Lord. How he died to bring them joy over their circumstances. We are to feel joy. This counsellor comes to bring us the gift of joy. And then we need to remember his power. Isaiah has written, for unto us a child is given, and his name will be called the Mighty God. Jesus came down on a starry night. He was born in Bethlehem, hidden in Egypt, raised in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan, and tempted in the wilderness. In all points, not just a few, every single thing that you will face, Jesus faced before you. But he overcame. He overcame by the word and the Spirit of God. Christ performed miracles on the roadside. He healed multitudes without medicine. He charged nothing for his service. He conquered everything that came against him. Then Jesus took our sins up to Calvary and he died for the world. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb, and on that time that God appointed, on the third day, he rose in power and omnipotence. Christ did not have to carve his initials in the side of the mountains because he is the title holder. He did not have to put a brand on the cattle of 1,000 hills because he's the proprietor. Jesus Christ stands free, healing and full salvation for each one of us. Doesn't that make you realise how small your problems are when you put them alongside a great and an almighty God? A God who is not afar off. You know, we have loved ones sometimes, and even as Pastor John prayed this morning, we have people in our fellowship who are going on holidays. And I notice when people are away. I notice when each one of you are missing. And when they're away for a few weeks, we miss them. Especially those that are very, very close to us, we miss them. And we long for their return. But you see, in the Lord, we can send them out knowing that God will be with them wherever they are. When our own children grow up and leave home, whether it's they just leave home or they leave home to get married, we send them off with joy and we continue to pray for them, believing that they will be in God's care. Because he has done all things well. Jesus is the conquering Christ of Christmas. Isaiah calls him the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. During the millennium reign of Christ, our Saviour will rule forever and he will reign over all the earth. The establishment of the domain will rest upon the Lord's shoulders. The extent of his kingdom is summed up in the words of Isaiah. There will be no end to the increase of his government of peace. No end to this peace. We need to have this peace. And as I said, when we miss our loved ones, we need to have the peace that God is with them. We can't always be with one another. We can't always protect one another. But we know that we have a God, a counsellor, a Prince of Peace, a mighty God who carries these things for us. It is going to be different when Jesus comes back. The first time he rode in on a donkey. The next he will ride a white horse. Is that not glorious? Is that not glorious? The first time he stood before Pilate. This time Pilate will stand before him. At first Jesus was rejected, but at the last every tongue will confess him as Lord. At Christ's first advent he was crowned with thorns. At his second, he will have a diadem of glory. Oh, what a wonderful day. Do you picture those things? I do. Do you just think of the here and now, or do you allow the Spirit of God to take you off and picture the glorious riches of his grace and his wonder and the things that he has promised to each one of us? Everything that you desire, God says, is important to him. Because he has put those desires in your heart. God called you forth, called you by name. He gave you your life partners. He gave you your children and your grandchildren and your generations. When I speak about my children and my grandchildren, it is not about saying, oh, look, we've done this, because we've done nothing but be obedient. It is God that brings the increase. It's to be an encouragement. God just doesn't do things for some. It is for all. It is for all. Sometimes, as I said, it takes a bit longer because God has given each person their own will and their own character. And sometimes we may not always do what we need to do, but we remember that he comes along and picks up behind us and he makes the increase. But you see, it starts with you believing. It's not what you do, it's who you are. It's what you believe in your heart, not what you see. It's what you see by the power of the Spirit. See those things that you desire. See them as being. See them as having. See them as rejoicing. There will be a rainbow of victory wrapped around his shoulders, and there will be a beautiful smile on his face because he is the conquering king. Jesus Christ came. We are now in this moment of Advent. The word Advent comes from the Latin word for coming. It's a time of waiting and preparation as we get ready to celebrate again this wonderful birth of Jesus, which has already happened, but we celebrate it as we celebrate our birthdays every year. And you know, as we have our birthdays, especially when you get to mine, some people think, oh dear, all those years have gone, there's not much left. I don't do that. I give thanks to God for those years and what he's taught me and where he has me now. And I look forward because I know it is all in his hands. And it's not what's left, because there is forever left. There is an eternity waiting to step into. There's an eternity to be lived, and it starts now. And we need to be remembering that and know that time is not the issue in God, but who we are and where we are. The Advent is also a time of the year when we look forward to the time when Jesus will come back again. Because we can't celebrate Jesus' birth without remembering his resurrection and his return. Remembering, as we celebrated around communion, that Jesus Christ came and gave his life that we might live in this fulfillment that Isaiah talks about. In the busyness and the accompanying things that run up to Christmas, I want to encourage you not to think about those things and to lose the most important thing. It's a time to think about how we can prepare. And even as we come around our giving, we need to be giving with a heart of gratitude that Jesus has made this possible, because he's given me the greatest gift. You see, we can run around in a flurry and run to this shop and that shop and buy a lot of stuff, often that we don't need and other people don't need. But we need to prayerfully take time to consider that person, to consider them and think about what would bless their lives. And then if we go with the right attitude and give the gift, it's more than the gift, it's the blessing of the gift that comes. It's something that will enrich their lives. I want people to think, oh, Mum gave me that, or Dad gave me that, or Grandma gave us that. It may be something that will last, it may be something that they'll wear. But if it's something they wear, I pray over it, that God will bless them as they wear it. But you see, that takes time away from the busyness. That takes knowing where our place is. Our place is not to be spent rushing and buying. Our place is meant to be spent before him. And then all of these things will be added to us. We will have time. We will have the energy. We will have the understanding and the time to think about what is good. I want to encourage you to rejoice and to know that this King of Kings is our Saviour. And this morning, if you do not know Jesus, it is my prayer that you will receive him today. Don't enter another Christmas without knowing the gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, who came as a baby, but not to stay in a manger. He came to be the King of glory and to be the King of your life, that we might know him as our wonderful counsellor, the mighty God, our everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus came to bring you peace, to bring you joy, but to bring you peace. And it is possible to be in the most difficult situation, the most painful, the most heartbreaking situation, and to know this peace that passes all understanding. Paul tells us about that. When Paul was locked up in prison, in chains, in a situation that we couldn't even imagine, He knew this Prince of Peace. He knew this God who could give him a great joy. So this Christmas, know this peace, know this joy. And I'd just like to read you this little poem before I close. If you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right there where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You'll have to look beyond the stores and all the celebrations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, you'll find I'm waiting there for you. You're the one I want to be with you, with so much that I gave my life. You're the reason I came, and you'll find me in the stillness as I'm whispering your name and calling you to me, love Jesus. Father God, we bless you. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you, Father, for this insight this morning that Isaiah brought, Lord God, in a time that was so difficult. And yet, Lord, you had given him a word to come to the nations and to proclaim you as King, to proclaim you as the Prince of Peace, the one and only God, our Saviour. And he delivered that message faithfully. And Father, we know that there is nothing by accident. We know, Father, that your word is not a word of chance, but a word of truth, and it's so beautifully balanced and brought together, Father. And everything we need is written in this living word that will come and be applied to our hearts to strengthen us and make us, Lord, the men and women, the boys and girls that you have created us to be. So, Father, it's my prayer this morning that we will, Lord, enter into this wonderful time of Christmas, Christmas, with you in our hearts, with you in our minds, with a joy in our step, Lord, and a song in our heart, and above all, that peace that passes all understanding as we celebrate you, Lord God, in our own hearts, and as we share you and celebrate you with others that we meet. So, Father, bless each one. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace is he, our everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.